Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Anime Brothers. I got something in my cup. You don't need to know what. Let's get it started. Me today is Daddy Man. You know me, Chris Digits. Off to the left side, we got Ty So Fly. Mr. Disciple, Dashney, shaking his head because Daddy Man still going to call himself what he is. And then, and Quiet Jams. Off looking off to the side with them big old eyes, ready to sip some tea. Let's do it. Anime Brothers, Annie up.
Daddy Man will be retired.
Daddy
Man
will never be retired. First
that's
off,
the Annie up for the episode.
That's what my son calls me. Second, I forgot to change that title during work, so I hopped on a Zoom call. And before my camera popped on, they was like, who's Daddy Man? Exactly. Sure enough, I open up eating a donut, like, yeah.
Extra dad status. There you go. Smooth. Oh, come on, man.
See what happens?
Exactly. I got called Big Daddy for the rest of the meeting.
Oh, wow.
I'm mad about that. I'm mad that they wouldn't just clown you. Why would they call you Big Daddy? Oh, man.
Sales numbers are fire? Shoot.
It's like they gave you props.
For being Daddy Man? No. I'm sorry.
You put a D
on your chest higher than name.
Never mind.
Once you two have kids, once your kid starts calling, hey, daddy, daddy, daddy. My wife started it. She's mommy lady. I'm daddy man. It's kind of like I got a superhero, whatever. And that pumps you up. Promise you. Just watch.
I can feel that. I understand.
Listen. It's cool that your son calls you that. Exactly. We're not going to do it.
No, I don't want you to call me that. That's weird. This is the nickname. I'm in my casa. When we start blowing up and we start having like an actual office that we go to, and I don't have to worry about this little man coming in on cue, like
on cue.
I'll change it back to Digit.
Really, came on cue.
He came back on cue.
What up, Gabriel?
What's up?
He said YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah. We are kind of YouTube. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
That's our new name. Well, I guess we can kick a quick confession real quick. With today's episode, I don't know. I was kind of doing like it's another hero moment kind of episode, but like I figured let's deviate because we've already done that. And like I was kind of thinking, all right, so you know back in the day that like, you know, everyone's dad had like a garage band or whatever. And like now I mean obviously mine didn't. Whatever. On all the TV shows, all the dads
hold on. Did any of our dads have a garage band? I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
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 We didn't even have a garage.
Well, I can't change it now because I already thought of mine. So all right, so I was gonna say back in the day, everyone had dads with garage bands, and nowadays it seems like, I don't know, everybody got a podcast. So I was doing that, like, that awkward moment when you realize this is, like, your dad moment, your dad hero moment, where we're doing it right now. This is it. Yeah, that's right.
I don't relate to any of that.
I'm sorry. I felt flat today.
So is it, like, the awkward moment when you realize you did something awesome?
Sure. We'll go with that. I like that. Woo!
I don't understand what you want this theme to be for today's quick effect. I might just go for free ball it.
Chris already did. I kind of did. You know what? Freestyle confessions today. Get in it.
I'm gonna stick with what Jamil said. My moment when I felt like I got old or I was a dad or whatever is, I was ready to go to sleep. My son was laying down, gets up, runs around, starts jumping on things. I said, ain't nobody trying to go to the hospital tonight. Go in your bed, boy. I was like, oh, damn. My dad done said that to me when I was younger. Yeah, I'm old. Mm. Yeah.
Dashney, when was the last time you felt like a daddy?
Never.
No, you know what? I kind of like what Chris said. Because you can change it to a quick confession where you felt like you said something that your dad would have said.
Ooh.
I like, all right. I'm spinning that off of what Chris said.
All right, you go ahead.
Let's see. All right. So I remember when I was younger, my dad, whenever he would like call us over, he'd yell, "Get over here, boy," or whatever, like from wherever I'm at. And then you instantly knew you had to like run because he was calling you. So let's see, my moment, probably when I was a camp counselor, and all the little kids, you know, they're all running around, blah blah blah, and like I'm trying to like ring them in for like, I don't know, was it roll call or something, I don't know, but it was some reason I was trying to ring them in and no one was listening. And it was just like a bunch of boys, like the cool boy group, they're all like, I don't know, 10 years old or something, but anyways, they were cool and they didn't want to come over. And I'm like, "Get over here now, boys. You better get over here now. Otherwise, I'm going to get the..." Whoever my manager was at the time, which everyone knows if you get him, you'd have been like in big trouble and all that stuff. So like they come running. And that's when I realized I had developed the power that my dad has for controlling and getting kids to run to me when I wanted them to.
What?
Right?
Yeah. Dash looked like he ready to sign off. He's like, "All right, Annie out."
Wow. I'm just gonna go with the moment I knew I was officially old. Okay. And it was literally when I hit 25, my 25th birthday. We did like a regular birthday party, went out for a night of drinking or whatever, went out for dinner and eating, drinking, whatever. It took me a good 2 days to recover from that hangover. And I'm just like, normally when I would go and I could drink or whatever, it was like, all right, you know, hang out for a couple of hours, you know, drink some water, get some food. We'll be back in this, ready to go again, ready to be productive. Nah, the moment I hit 25, that stopped happening. That stopped happening. It was like, nah, your body needs some real time to recover. And I'm just like, dang, I can't do this no more. I cannot do this anymore. I am old. I am officially old. I thought it was a myth. Everybody always said, yo, when you hit 25, things change. I'm just like, nah, we good. Mm-mm. My body said, nope.
You treat 25 like middle age.
Hey, that's how I felt. That's what it felt like.
Not gonna lie to you, bro.
Yo, that next 30? Day, I was doing nothing but sipping water and staying in bed. I didn't go to the day after.
Dang, man. Yo, 30, day one, 30, back pain. 32, neck pain. I was like, man, what's going on? It's the craziest stuff, man.
I've had back pain for years. That was nothing.
Oh, that was nothing new for you?
Yeah, it's nothing new for me. Back pain has been on me for years.
All right. Well, if we're gonna go with sounding like our dads, all right, I'm gonna go. So, me and my dad work together, right? And like he was having this conversation on the phone with somebody, and I guess he just got tired of talking to him because like he like literally mid conversation he goes, "Here, hold on." He just handed me the phone, right? And so I'm just like, "Hello," and she goes, "Oh yeah," and she continues to talk for like the next 10 or 15 minutes. Like with me responding, just the way I normally respond to stuff, like, yep, uh-huh, right, yep. And then she goes, "So like, Bernie, like, what do you think about that?" I'm like, "This isn't him." She goes, "Ha ha ha, funny, because apparently we sound exactly the same on the phone. And we're having this conversation. She goes, "It's definitely you because you act the same, you sound the same. Like, how are you going to tell me you're a different person?" I'm like, "Look, I can put him on the phone right now. Like, I don't even know what we're talking about right now." And we back and forth. And she goes, "Wow, you really are not him. I can't believe it." I was, she had no idea. I don't know. It was the craziest, weirdest thing of 2020. No, not the weirdest thing of 2020. But that did happen this year. And that was
So you don't have literally your own sound like your pops, huh?
Yeah.
I say, he doesn't have his own voice.
Yeah, I don't get to have my own thing here. It's like yeah, that's how we go.
So basically, listeners, we are listening to Mr. Sabri.
Yeah, you can call me Mr. Not quite. He's Dr. Sabri. No.
Oh, my bad. Dr. Sabri.
He ain't got those fly. The only difference is he ain't got those fly posters in the back right there, though.
That's right. You know it. I know. He'll correct you on that real quick, though. He goes, Mrs. Sabrina goes, nah, doctor. I was like, ooh. There was an old dude who came into the office.
Has to.
Yeah. Old dude came into the office. He goes, he was talking about, he's like 95, right? And he came in and he was talking about, like, you know, back in the day, all of our wives had to call us master because it was like, it's like a Master Sabrina, whatever. He goes, what does your wife call you nowadays? He goes, mister? He's like, no, doctor. She calls me doctor. I was like, dang.
Yo, he earned that doctor.
Yeah, man. He gonna remind you every second he gets.
I don't know what age that dude came from where people were getting called masters, but nah, I ain't with it.
Right? Yo. Right?
I ain't with it.
Quick, I'm not gonna lie to you. Quick,
you got one? One of my uncles, his name was Master, rest in peace. His name was Master. And it was basically just to be like, the story goes that his mama named him Master so that when white folks talk to him, it would be like a reverse racism type thing. It'd be like, you got to call him Master.
Well, that's different when your name is actually Master. That's different when your name is actually Master.
Dang. She got him though, Mr. Master.
All right, what are we getting into today? What's today's topic?
Run out of coffee. Sorry.
Today's topic is My Hero Academia Season 1, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo-woo! I'm going to let y'all know right now that I am definitely just going to be a spectator. I am just like everybody watching this. Out of not watch My Hero Academia, I didn't spend the 5 minutes to do the recap either because I was doing fantasy sports. So I am definitely a spectator. Y'all get into it, and I'm going to be shocked. I'm like, shit.
And everybody watching this is going to be like, yo, how is this different from any other time?
Oh, Dash is coming at me. Dash comes at me.
Yeah, I joke. I kid.
Let me just sit here. I'll save a rash for you later.
That's a segment. Dash is rash. You know?
Nah, I got it coming. It's just, sir. I got that coming.
Oh, no, but no. How
did y'all feel? Well, it was a quick, but 13 episodes for My Hero Academia Season 1. I've stated before, this is definitely one of my favorite new anime that's come up. Like, out of, like, from going past the big three, you had, like, back in the day was like the DBZs and the Narutos and the Bleach. Then you had Fairy Tail and One Piece.
Okay, now stop. Slow down.
Relax. Down. Yeah, relax on that.
We don't do that.
relax on that. I mean, you get huge ones, but like, again, I don't watch Fairy Tail or One Piece. So I'm just like, I'm looking for something new. And then I heard about My Hero Academia. I was like, all right, you know, let me check this out. And like, instantly, like, fell in love with this anime. And like, for me, like, in this debate, like, I thought, like, it was going to be, obviously, like, the future seasons have more episodes, but just in this quick 13 episodes, it was like, I instantly fell in love with the story. Like, My Hero Academia follows the story of Izuku Midoriya. This world where people either they're born with quirks or they develop quirks early on, and he wants to, and like, throughout the passing of time, you know, some people started using their quirks for evil, so which gave the need for heroes to rise. So like the heroes now, they're like an association of heroes, and it's like an organization. It's their job to be a hero. And Izuku, he admires the heroes and he wants to be a hero. And like the one he admires the most is the number one hero at the time, All Might. And he like adores the guy. He basically worships All Might. He has All Might toys, All Might posters all over his wall. He just wants to be like All Might, and he wants like, he's striving for the deal. He can be a hero. But then he finds, like, as a kid, he's told that he'll never develop a quirk. And if I just, like, the stupidest reason to, like, what it was, like, some joint.
Yeah,
in his
double joint. He has pinky toe. In his pinky toe, he had double
joint. Yeah, he had double joint and pinky toe, so he would never be able to develop a quirk. And honestly, as it's dumb, but then it's, like, you see the tears in his eyes and the face that he makes when he can't have a quirk.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, like, as sad as that is become one of the most memeable of things where he's looking at the TV and he has his eyes looking back at his mom. He's like, it's so, like, I feel so bad, but it's like, it become one of the most memeable things. Like, some of the memes are hilarious, and he's just looking back at his mom. He's like, I can still become a hero without a quirk, right? And it's like, like, nah. But then it's like he becomes, well, like, not, they're not teenagers at the time. They're not young teenagers, like maybe 12. Did
they ever leave their age? No, he's actually a teenager because All Might, he during the training, he's like, what was it after the training? He references the word, he uses the term teenagers.
So did they ever say their exact age, or are we just like, I think they're like, you know, like 13?
That's what I'm saying. I think they're just,
that's 13, usually the typical, teenagers. Yeah, I feel like that's a typical age for like anime, because I don't think, when I was trying to look, I don't think they ever actually referenced an actual age.
Izuku Midoriya is 16 years old. Date of birth? 16? July 15th, 2000.
Yeah, but like, oh, July 2000.
That's,
wait.
Yeah,
that's like, I guess they're doing a cumulative year, because remember, this came out in 2016, so that was four years ago. There you go.
So he was 16 going into high school.
Normally 14, 15, but like this is different. Like, this isn't like a regular type of high school. This is
true,
their world. This is a preparatory school for the heroes.
But
I didn't think they actually referenced their age in the show or during season one. I don't recall that ever happening.
Oh, they're in the if you not watching it like through like a TV or something, but like you know those little like
the blurbs when they come up and show. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Oh yeah, that's right. They okay, good age, call.
They put the date.
That's on me. I completely forgot all about that. They do.
I've been tuning those out because, like, as you watch them, they come up so much. Like, every single episode, the very first time they show every character, the entire blurb comes up. And it's like, all right, that's a little much. You know, I get it. I know him by now. But I.
Yeah. So as as a 16-year-old, like, he still has no quirk. And, like, he's still, like, he spends his time just, like, studying stuff because he doesn't have a quirk and he'll never be able to have a quirk. He spends so much time like studying other heroes and their quirk and detailing them in their notebook. It's like, it's a really like obsessive type thing. It is borderline crazy.
Yeah, it's very extreme. Yeah, it's very obsessive, but it actually ends up being very, very helpful to him later because he knows how other people's quirks work, and so he knows how to counter them, which is, it's a power in its own. It's like its own superpower without actually
power
being.
Of
he
knowledge.
Knows for the At least for the heroes, anyways, he uses their abilities to like help it assess the situation to assist. He doesn't really got much on villains.
No.
But he then, so like he one day, like he's walking down the street and like he gets attacked by that slime monster.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, he got no quirk. And then who comes in to save the day but his number one hero, All Might? I don't know, but think what made me funny is like All Might saves him, but then it's like again, it goes back to his obsessive nature. The dude starts like All Might tries to like leave the scene, think he's good, and Deku's just grabbing until he's like, and he's like, yo, I need to talk to you. I'm just like, what? I'm like, what is this kid doing? This kid's trying to die.
Yeah, as All Might's trying to get away because he's like, yo, I only got so much time left. I only got too much time left. Like, this kid's on me. Like, what am I going to do? I got to get rid of him.
Yeah, so it's revealed that All Might has through it all. Like, it's revealed that All Might has a wound.
3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. Yeah,
so he has a 3-hour time limit in his little transformed state and due to a wound that he suffered 5 years previously. But he didn't. No one really knew about it because he kept it hidden. But the only reason why Deku found out is because Deku literally grabbed onto All Might when he was trying to get away, and he wouldn't let him leave until like the time limit exposed, and then he transformed back to his normal state.
Right,
and then you see Deku starts freaking out. Oh yeah, the blood.
Yeah, it starts spitting up blood.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
those scenes are comical.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a real question though about All Might. Why is it that he's a scrawny dude that can transform into a super muscular dude. But however, when he's training Deku, he's making him like work up his body to be strong enough to hold the power. But if you notice that All Might's regular form, it doesn't look like he's strong enough to hold the power at all. I just thought that was interesting.
He's had it for a while.
Yeah, he's had it for a while.
For it. And so apparently the way he described it at some point was that that quirk requires you, like, it works differently than everybody else. So Izuku may never develop the power to just like inflate, but like he had to train his body in order to like not have him just like explode as soon as he got it. So he had to be at like some kind of minimal threshold for the power to actually like be okay with him. And like as we see it happens, like it's still not like okay with him, but he doesn't explode as soon as he eats the hair, which is also a weird plot device.
so that's how the transfer power of One For All works. Yeah. Like you need to, he transplanted through his hair. All Might gave Deku a strand of his, which that was kind of an overreaction on my his part, because like he had a one strand of hair and ate it, and it was just like started freaking out. He's like, people have eaten hair before. It's like, it's a strand of hair. It's like, even by accident, people have eaten a strand of hair. There was no need for that.
I also thought All Might was pulling his leg at this point in time, because it was like, all right, well, here's a piece of hair. Like, you just worked out for like 3 months straight. Here's some hair. It's like, wait, what? How is that going to help you?
The thing is, like, before we get too ahead of ourselves, the reason why All Might, so what happens is like Deku was like talking to All Might, and he asked him like, can I be a hero without a quirk? And All Might tells him no, which completely crushes Deku to be, because like, here's your number one hero telling you that you can't be a hero without a quirk. So then later on, like Deku's like going on the street and the slime monster comes back. This time he attacks Kachan or Bakugo. And we have Katsuki Bakugo. And you find out he grew up with Deku. Like, I'll put friends in quotation marks, because Bakugo does not treat Deku as a friend at all, though Deku looks up to him. But, and you see, like, and the thing is, like, so the Slime Master attacks Bakugo, and then All Might, you know, he can't really transform at the time because, like, he already passed his time limit thanks to Deku. And so Deku just runs in and tries to attack the slime monster and save Bakugo. And he ends up getting captured as well. So, like, almost like, damn, man, it's like, I really got to push myself beyond this. So All Might transforms, saves them both, whatever. And then afterwards, he was just like, you know what? I really admire your courage and your strength to do what you did. He's like, and that's when he decides, he reveals the power, the secret of One For All, and gives Deku the hair.
Yeah. Mm. Give him it showed that, like, you know what, you had the spirit to be a hero even if you weren't given the power, and I can give you the power, which was interesting. It was cool. Bakugo also did, Kachan did not want to be saved at all, and you know, situation, All Might completely knew that Deku had no powers at all, and he goes, wow, he still charged in, faced adversity, and you know what, this kid can do it. I can train him, I can shape him, and he can be the successor for All For One, which is very important.
See, Bakugo, I'm not gonna lie, Bakugo was mad annoying to me, because especially during season one, because like they didn't give him like any type of reason of why he was such an asshole. It was just like, I'm just gonna be an asshole.
Well, the reason he was such an it's the reason he was such an asshole is because like he was the most powerful, he was the smartest, he was like top student in grades and performance, like bar none. In his school, and so like he was a shoo-in to go to UA above everybody else. Like it was not even a contest. That's so, why he kind of like he had a superiority complex, like, over everybody
for else. Sure, that is true. But the reason why he truly started hating Izuku versus like all the other kids who were like part of his like little Kachan gang or hero. Oh, those jabronis you've never seen again. was because when they were little, Kachan had fell into a water or riverbank or whatever. Nothing like life changing or danger. But Izuku jumped in to save him, and it pissed Kachan off because, as you said, he had that superiority complex. So him trying to help him.
But I'm getting like that's just ridiculous to the extent that he's always angry and yelling, like no matter what the situation is. Like I'm like that gets old over time. Mm-hmm. So season one, he's like definitely was like mad annoying to me. I mean, yeah. There are some parts where like it's funny and certain times where you yell at people, but it's just like to have that constantly, you're just like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think they were building him. They were sort of building him up to be like, you're going to think he's going to be a villain, like a really bad antagonist. And he kind of was at some point, but things change and he ends up not being. So I don't know. I like I like his role because he actually does show change and he shows growth throughout the entire season and into later seasons as well.
Well, he's definitely also used as a tool to help Deku grow as well.
Oh, yeah.
So his number one rival.
Well, yeah, he's the bar. Right, and then later in this season, actually, show like how he surpasses that bar, and it actually I think it turns Ka-Chan around. Like he I think it takes him from being on the path that he's on to actually being like, okay, well, maybe I should be more heroic then.
All right, so Deku gets his power. So Deku gets his power, and then he does the entrance exam to go to UA. Where all like the kids go. To get to hone their skills to become heroes. Like, how did you feel about when he gets to UA?
I love this. So when he gets to UA, he's sitting in the room and he's like looking around. Okay, so we got to do this exam. I can do this. And then we're talking about as he's walking in and he meets Mystery Girl and all this other stuff. Yeah. You know, gravity.
Yeah. Ochako.
Yeah, Ochako-chan.
Yeah, but yeah, that my favorite part though is just like this dude is walking and like he's still trying to throw him up from the hair and like he's about to fall flat on his face and she just like touches him to float.
Yep.
Yeah, he doesn't fall flat on his face. So make sure he doesn't fall flat on his face.
Yeah.
Facts. What? I was gonna say the other part was the fact that he lit up because he said he talked to a girl. In reality, he never spoke. I was just cracking up so hard. Those things make me laugh. I love those parts.
Yeah. But like, but, you know, get into the actual exam portion and this dude he flunks. He essentially flunks. Like everybody else seems like he's like get at least a couple points. And then this dude, he faces the one thing that you're actually supposed to avoid in the entire obstacle course. And not only does so at this point I'm still thinking that like All Might might be pulling his leg like yo he's never gonna develop his powers like you ate a hair because he laughed at you. I don't know.
Well let's put it there. He didn't necessarily flunk.
Yeah, no,
he just didn't do any elimination points.
Yeah, he didn't do the obstacle course. Yeah,
because he wanted to save Ochako. So basically like they had to run to the obstacle course.
Yeah.
And what they were the big run. They had the robots who were worth 0 points but were still causing damage. But you got points. But you got points from doing other stuff.
Yeah, rescuing. Yep. And
you have points for
destroying.
Right. No, there's a written part. There's a written part too.
Oh yeah.
They had a written part. And
but he didn't do well on the written part, did he?
No.
No, he did well. He did well enough to pass on the written.
Yeah, he did well enough. He did well enough to pass. I didn't get an F, so I passed. But, you know, it's like, okay, did I really do well, though? A D minus isn't failing, but did I really do well?
No.
No, that's all you need. That's all you need to pass. Just saying.
Nah.
Is that something you feel proud of?
No, I didn't feel proud, but I think Midoriya's story is that like he's just making it, but he's making it by like heart alone. So he's finally getting there, but he's not like Ka-Chan. He's not the top of the. He's not the cream of the crop. Naturally gifted, he had to work for it, and so like
my man got 0 points during that obstacle course. Well, he had zero elimination points from the obstacle course, but he ended up going. They give him what 60 rescue points for taking on the big monster. I was like, come on, man, that's a bailout.
Right, the very, very, very first time he uses his power. This is what gives me the feels for the entire season because I'm like, wow, this is like legit. Like, All Might trained him for a reason. It built him up, and he's still. Jumps like 1,000 feet in the air and breaks both of his legs on the way up, not the way down.
Yeah, because he still doesn't know how to control one for all. So by using it, he breaks both of his legs, and then he uses one for all in his arm to destroy the robot before it can step on Ochako. And he's like, so he breaks. So he, now he has two broken legs and a broken arm, and he's just in the air, not even realizing how he was gonna come back down. So he's just falling to his death, thinking he's about to die. And then, but right before he hits the ground, Ochako slaps him in the face, because Ochako's power, whenever she touches something, she can control the gravity of its nature. She can float or come back down. And so she basically saved Deku's life.
Yeah.
Deku saves her in order for her to save Deku.
It's a good
thing. She got rescue points because of that.
Yes. So they both pass because of that, which was great, because they make a good match. And I think they said they were gonna try to edge in a little bit on their relationship, which I kind of hope happens. They're teenagers at this point. Let it go.
See, I mean, like, from the beginning, you can see, like, obviously, like, they have the feelings for each other. It's not like there's something, like, it's shied away from in the anime. Like, Deku clearly thinks she's beautiful, and so, and then she clearly likes Deku, too.
Yo, it's like a Hinata and Naruto kind of, like, you know, Hinata, like,
Naruto didn't even know she existed.
Right?
No, but, like, I'm more or less going towards her, how she feels about him and how Hinata felt about Naruto. Because you think about it, you remember in the scene when they did the heroes versus villains, and like two people were heroes and two people were villains, she even said the words.
That's next, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what?
No, you're good.
Oh, no, what are you saying? We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Keep going. Oh, you got it.
Fine. She states that, Deku can't be the only one. Like, she has Deku.
Let's see. We're going to get this right, man. All right. We're getting clowned because you keep mispronouncing stuff.
Yo, these comments, though, I love them. I love all the comments. It's so fun. But
I'm just,
he's a manga reader. He has to make all the names in his head, you know? So I get it. It makes sense.
Plus, I'm a comic relief, guys. I'm a comical relief.
Oh. Right?
People need.
Don't you take my title? No,
that's Chris.
You something.
That's me. Y'all sitting there talking about how you guys loved whoever the main character is. You're basically talking about he's Rudy. You're like, oh, I love that Rudy character. He sucks in life, but because he got that heart, good for him. Maybe he get the girl.
That's a really good comparison. He is Rudy.
Rudy.
I mean, he ain't my favorite character, but right now, since the early episodes, that's what they got to focus on, since this was only 13 episodes.
Yeah. No, I guess, no, hey, listen, no. Yeah. I only reason why I chimed in is just because Ty tried to take my, if I'm not the comic relief or the commentator that introduces all y'all, then what am I here for? Come on now, don't take my role. All right.
No, wait. All right, so at this point, how do you feel about My Hero Academia? We haven't even finished the season yet, like, talking about it. How do you feel about watching it?
In all honesty, right now I'm not here nor there. To an extent, I'm thinking of when you guys are talking about like heroes needing to create their own league and kind of they have rankings and stuff like that. I'm thinking about how One Punch Man played off of that. Mm. So I'm just kind of like thinking about, okay, like maybe One Punch took from this, because I know One Punch takes from all these different little animes. So yeah. I thought, like, oh, okay, that sounds like One Punch Man type of plot.
Yeah. This is One Punch Man with all the comedy. How about that?
I mean, they still have some comedic moments, though.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they definitely do. Deku.
One Punch Man is set up as a parody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're on that 2v2 right now, right?
Yeah. Go 2v2.
The 2v2 is actually probably my favorite moment of the season, because, like, it's finally Kachan versus Deku. It's like he's out there, he's ready to go. It's
I mean, don't disrespect the partners, man. I was gonna mention them
Kachan and Ida, who is not a good match at all. Power wise, they could have been a good match, but like, nah, they mentally not on the same page at all. And then
well, Urahara, it's because of Kachan. Yeah, he don't want to work with people. Well, I mean that doesn't come to later, but there's certain people Kachan actually like kind of
respects
and likes working with or respects, but yeah, that's more towards the other seasons. But you know, honestly though, Ida kind of makes me cheese, just the way he is in his mannerisms trying to scold people. Oh. even though he's even though he's just like exactly like in the same grade as them.
Yeah, he tries to dad them essentially.
I was gonna say that.
Oh,
sorry. Self-proclaimed dad of the group.
Yeah, but you get, he's part of the prestigious Ingenium family, and his brother is a well-known hero. So he just wants to be like his brother, and plus he can run super fast with the engines on his legs.
That's the craziest superpower.
I don't know if I'd like.
Yeah, just run fast. No. He has engines in his legs.
Yeah, engines in his leg, man. Super speed.
Yeah.
That's so weird to be born with.
I know. But like it is. But what can you say? So like in his 2v2, they enter the building, and like, you know, Urahara and Deku both have like plan. Like, okay, I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z. And like Bakugo was like, nah, I'm going rogue. And like he goes and meets him in the hallway, and because he has beat Deku so many times, Deku knows exactly how his fight's gonna play out. So he goes, all right, yo, he's gonna come at me, he's gonna punch, I can duck it, I can flip him. I'm like, how many times has this man beat on you? Like, come on now.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple. That's it. He was a bully. Kachan was a bully when they were kids.
Yeah.
It was just on the same fact that Deku didn't have a quirk, and Kachin just made sure he knew it every single time.
Yo,
he was so mean. And it's like the thing is, Kachin gave him the name Deku, like to let him know as an insult. But then it wasn't until afterwards, to like when they were doing this whole 2v2, where Urahara was just like, you know what? Deku can also be the name of a hero as well. So he decides to flip it and just like, you know what? I'm going to take the name, keep it, make it my own. Like, I'm gonna use it, like that's gonna be my hero name.
Yeah, he uses haters to fuel him. Or hater.
At least Kachan, anyways.
Yeah. That this guy was a one hater. I don't think he has multiple. Everyone else is pretty nice. But
yeah, because Deku, like I guess, like for Japanese, like it's the term used to be as a useless person.
Yeah, exactly. Which is Moomin Rider.
one punch
let's not do it. Let's not get into that. All right.
Okay. So yeah, this is like he totally telegraphed all his moves. Deku flips him over, and at this point, Kachan is just like, "Yo, when did he get so strong? Why is he even here? Like, he doesn't even have a quirk. I don't understand this." And so they duke it out, and then they come up with this plan, and this plan is. It's insane, and I think this is what makes Kachan actually, like, respect him a little bit, because, like, he's coming at him full force with explosive powers, and Deku is essentially like, all right, I'm gonna block this explosion. Like, they come head-to-head. He blocks this explosion full force with his left arm, and instead of, like, knocking this dude out and just, like, completely ending his career, essentially, he blasts upward, blast out the roof, and helps Urahara get to like the goal, and they win. But at this point in time, like, you know, Kachan hits this dude and he goes, oh, what did I just do? You can see like the expressions. They did a good job creating that, because like you felt the tension, you felt the emotion, and I was like, wow, this is a big moment. And so that's what I was saying earlier a little bit. Like, I feel like this is the moment where he realizes, like, all right, maybe I need to have a little bit more heart to be a hero. And he definitely starts respecting Deku a little bit more at that point in time.
Does he?
Don't think so? I think he does.
Like, really,
he stops hating him.
Does he? Because like, he was definitely, he was pissed that he lost.
Yeah, no. He was definitely pissed that he lost.
And he literally ran after Deku, and like, he still starts making fun of, like, he doesn't treat him any differently. Like, he's still angry with Deku over anything that Deku does. Like, so yeah. I don't think he actually like started respecting Deku at that moment. I think that comes later on. Like, he may have acknowledged the loss, but it was just like, I don't know if that gave him any type of respect. He was just, that just made him pissed. Because like, if you've been beating on somebody, making fun of him all your entire life when you were kids, all the way to now, to the very moment, and this guy beats you, I don't think that's gonna make you like respect him anymore. You're just like, your first reaction is you're going to be pissed for a little bit. It's gonna take a while before you actually start respecting him. Because like, for Bakugo, he thought it was gonna be a sure win. Like, he really wanted to take Deku down, and he got beat. So it's like, he was pissed.
I mean, he was, but I don't know. I kind of saw that as a changing moment for him. But that's fine. That's fine. I mean,
not at all. He's the same guy. I don't think, like, the changing moment, I don't think that happens in season one. Not for Bakugo.
Yeah.
No.
But anyway, but Chris, after...
Could have had my back.
You know, but after the 2v2s, you know, well, I mean, or even before that, but like one of my favorite characters that gets introduced during season one is their teacher, Mr. Aizawa, aka Eraser.
Ooh. Eraser head.
Dude's a beast. He's one of the villains. His main quirk is if he looks at you with his eyes, he can disable your quirk. As long as he's looking at you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can disable your quirk as long as he's looking at you. That's why his name is Eraser.
Yeah, I love how his eyes are always red. He's like, I always need some clear eyes or whatever.
But he's so melancholy.
He just has to look at you or has to look at your eyes?
No, he just has to look at you.
I think he has to make eye contact, right? Because at some point, doesn't someone cover their eyes and he can't do it?
No, I don't think he needs eye contact with the person he's trying to disable.
Okay. And then how long are you disabled? As long as he's looking at you?
As long as he's looking at you.
Yeah. Until he closes his eyes.
Until he blinks. So when he blinks, the power comes back.
Is that his only? Is that his only power? Does he have a secondary power?
That's his only power.
I mean, he uses his bandages though to wrap him up. It's like he can use his bandages.
That's combat. That's
his combat skill. He has combat skills too. But
that's not power though.
I know what you're saying. Like, but that's it. He's nice with the combat skill.
All right.
But his actual power is disabling other people's quirks when he looks at them. But that also drains his energy too, so like he can't. It's not like he can just look at you permanently. Like again, like if he blinks, breaks contact, then your powers come back, and he can't obviously leave his eyes open for that long.
Yeah,
he has to be better when he's partnered with somebody, correct? Like he's not gonna fight you with his only quirk being I have to look at you the whole time. Because if I get to your side, if you blink or whatever, all of a sudden I'm more stronger than you right off rip.
No, he can fight. That's what I'm saying. He has combat skills.
Yeah, he also has these shades where you can't tell where he's looking when he's fighting you. So you don't know if your quirk's missing until it's time for you to use it. And so, you know, he'll be staring at you and you don't know it. And then, like, your quirk doesn't fire off. And then you go, oh, wow, wait a second. Just like earlier in the season, Deku was trying to throw on the entrance of the class where, like, they first walk into the class. And Deku's trying to throw the ball. Yeah, the quirk test.
Yeah, he's trying to throw a baseball. But again, like we said, since he can't utilize one for all that properly, it takes a toll on his body. And like he's about to destroy his arm, and Aizawa just takes away his quirk. He's just like, listen, your quirk is just like, if your quirk damages you every time you use it, you can't be a hero. It's essentially a useless quirk. So Deku's just like struggling. He's trying to figure out what can he do. And so like, he finally, like, he's thinking about it. He's like, you know, it's like, let me see if I can just put the quirk just to my fingertip. And then he just puts the one for all, uses it, the force in his fingertip to throw the ball. And he throws it pretty damn far because one for all is a pretty beast quirk.
Yeah.
But it's still, I mean, he damages the finger, but he takes, like, it's better sacrifice the fingertip than to do, like, the whole entire hand or the arm.
Mm. Yeah, and then he still ends up on the bottom of the class because I guess Aizawa just don't like him.
Yeah.
You're still damaging yourself. Like, that's not a good utilization of the quirk.
That was a good mentor moment. Like, you cannot use this skill without almost killing yourself. Let's be honest. Like, you can't be a hero if you almost kill yourself trying to save somebody.
And you can't always rely on recovery because, like, again, so like we said, when Deku uses his quirk, he damages his body severely. And the reason why he recovers is because there is a hero recovery girl where when she kisses you, she heals up your injury.
Yep.
She's a grandma, which is perfect.
Yeah. Which makes it funny. It makes it hilarious when she...
I know.
You didn't have to recreate that. No one needed to see that.
That's going to be hilarious.
Sorry about my wife watches this. My mom watches this. Don't even worry about it. They'll love it.
That's your wife and your mom, bro.
That's all you need, bro. Last time. That's all you need, bro.
Thank you.
My mama says I'm handsome.
You could have kept that private.
Oh man,
mama, I love you.
Don't worry about when you take L's. Dash is he's taking all these dubs and he's losing them in his dirty ass room. So don't worry about it. He can't even keep the receipt.
Hey yo, don't even worry about my bag. Don't worry about that.
He's a green screen going back.
My room is exactly as clean as I want it to be. All right.
I'm waiting for that closet to open up, man. I feel like something's gonna come out.
Oh, the closet ain't even bad. You just don't need to see what's in it.
Oh.
And that's all. I just leave it at that. You don't need to see what's in there.
Oh, this is gonna be like that episode of Dave. Yo, wait, hold on. You don't watch Dave? Y'all watch Dave?
I haven't seen it. All right. I heard it's hilarious, but I haven't seen it.
It is hilarious. All right. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I am not talking about it. I'm just going to let it go.
We'll move on.
All right. So, all right. Like, after we do the 2v2s or whatever, after we do the 2v2s, they're doing, they go to what, the training facility?
Yes.
Like, there's a big ass training facility, and Aizawa was trying to teach the kids how to use the quirk. But before that even gets started, UA gets attacked by the League of Villains. And obviously, this is like the first stage of the League of Villains. So it's not the League of Villains that we're gonna know and grow, and for some people grow to love later on. This is like League of Villains, where led by Shigaraki and
One for All.
No, wow. He's not.
We just gonna give it away right then.
Mentioned in season one, bro.
Wait a second, he's not.
He's just master. He doesn't have a name.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
We can cut that.
Wow.
Spoiler alert.
Just beep it. Just beep it.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, just sit on the sidelines like me.
My man came to interrupt me to go and drop that bomb. I was just like, see, season one, man. We talking about season one.
Uno. I thought he had a name. I'm sorry.
He did have a name. It was Master.
Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not gonna call him that name. Just like we're not gonna call Chris Daddy Man.
Anyway, we're talking about Shigaraki though. Yeah, that's just what he's referred to.
And Warkit. Was it dude's name Warp? Or Warp?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was his quirk. His quirk was Warp, but I forgot his name. It's like Kurikiri. I can't pronounce it correctly, so I'm just gonna let you know right back. Something like, let me look.
Let's
that
I
up.
Do it.
You're off for that.
I'm trying to call him Warp Gate, because I'm pretty sure even when Disciple Destiny figures it out, I still won't be able to pronounce it. So I'm going to call him Warp Gate.
Yeah, okay. So it's Kurigiri. Kurogiri. Kurigiri. But he's just like a guy surrounding the mist of black fog. And like his quirk is, like Ty says, he can create warp gates. So he can warp people just about anywhere, right? Is there like a limitation to where he can warp?
His limitation is somewhere he hasn't been before, or he can't. Well, no, because when it got launched, he couldn't get it, and I think he said his reasoning was because he went to a location he's never been or something. But essentially, he can go anywhere. Actually, I don't know if that's the actual answer because he's never been to UOA. So I don't know how he got into
UA. I know. He's just like, yo.
It's not that. It's like that kind of gets – that will get – there's more to that later on. It hasn't been revealed yet of why he was able to do that. But if you read the manga, there's a reasoning for that. If that's his limitation where he can only go where he's only been, before it gets explained to the manga, then you'll find out why. He's able to get to you, but let me actually look up his actual quirk.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, if I want to read between the lines, if he has to have been there before, then dun dun dun.
That means he was a student that went turned evil. Obviously,
that's not at all. I was just gonna say he's been there before. All right. Like even I didn't give that away. All right. See, this is guys. It's a wrap. Like Saran, it's a wrap.
Oh man.
Oh no, that fell on his face. I'm sorry, bro.
I know, right? That was gold.
No, it wasn't.
Oh,
Cyble Dashing is looking that up. I guess we can continue talking about the kid. They were just court training, right, at the facility. Yeah. It wasn't like they were.
Okay, so I just agree. So his quirk is coordinate based. So in order to use it, he needs to know the exact location where he's supposed to open the portal. All
right, that makes sense.
Kind of well.
Yeah, so basically, almost every as long as he knows the exact location, he can do it.
You just need some coordinates. So yeah,
that's good.
It's good. So yeah, so basically, the League of Villains come in. Into attack, but like I said, this isn't like the real League of Villains that you'll come to know and love. It's besides Shigaraki and Kurigiri, there's a bunch of jabronis.
Yeah,
that I was are with say them. That word.
What, jabroni?
Yeah, I knew you were saying jabroni. Like,
what you got against the word jabroni?
I got nothing against it. I'm just saying that's been your word. Oh. The last couple of episodes.
I mean, what do we gotta call them?
That's who they were. Like, they're not main guys. Like, they get beat with the quickness. Oh yeah, they invade. So they get invaded, and then as I was just like, "Yo, what's going on?" And so the League of Villains announces their attack on UA because they're looking for All Might because they want to destroy him. But All Might's chilling with the principal talking, and they have no idea that the students are being attacked. And so Kurigiri uses his war gate to separate the students into like different areas, and they and Aizawa's heading off Shigaraki and Kurigiri. He's trying to take them both on. Well, he disables Shigaraki right off the bat, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. Or he saw what his quirk can do, and he goes, nope.
Yeah, because he saw his quirk. Shigaraki's quirk is decay. Anything he touches will just decay instantly. He'll be destroyed and they'll be dead forever. So he disabled them right off the bat. And then the other jabroni try to attack him. And that's what I was talking about with Chris. Yeah. When you're talking about he's always going to need a partner. He doesn't really need a partner because with his bandages, he can use his bandages. Like the way he works, like he has great fighting ability. So he uses the quirk to disable their abilities. Then he uses his bandages to like wrap him up. He can pick him up, slam him, toss him. Like he's a good fighter.
Yeah, that was a great showcase of his skills because like it was like 50 on one, like 20 on one or something like that. And he takes him down.
And he was kicking ass until, you know, Nomu showed up.
Not Nomu showed up.
Because Nomu came in and just came down right on top of him, just like blah.
Boom.
Yeah, that was a rough one to watch too. Like face beating to the ground, man.
He was taking his arms and just snapping them like twigs.
And the thing about Nomu is like you can't really disable her because a Nomu is like an artificially created monster who they just pump a lot of quirks into them. So Nomus have multiple perks. So and Aizawa can't, Erase can't disable all of them at once.
Yeah. Plus they're built like very elastic or whatever, like shock resistant.
Shock. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Shock absorbent, not shock resistant.
And anyways, he couldn't even look at the Nomu because, you know, his face was deep in the cement.
Just kept smacking him into the ground. Yeah.
That was, but honestly, like during that arc where the League of Villains attacks, episode 10 is by far my favorite episode of the entire season because my favorite moment is when Deku, Sue, and Mineta are separated on the yacht. And so Deku's not a dumb person. He's intelligent. So he's assessing the situation. So he realizes the League of Villains don't really know what their quirks are because they never would have sent Sue, whose hero's name is Froppy. She's like, she has a frog power. They would have never sent her to a water area. So he's assessing, it's like, they don't really know what our quirks are. So like Deku is like asking them to explain their perks. So Mineta is explaining his perk and how he has balls on his head that are sticky, and the more balls that he picks off his head, like it loses its stickiness power or infects him, and like he starts bleeding. He starts bleeding from his nose. And so after he's done explaining his quirk, Deku and Sue just give the blankest stare, like,
"Yeah, it's like what is your use here?"
He was like, "Yo, I told you not to let me explain my quirk. It's pretty useless here. We're all just gonna die."
And pop off balls.
Funny. funniest moment for me that entire, like, the entire first season. That's the funniest episode. He's like, yo, go ahead, explain. He's like, explain your quirk so we can figure out how to get out of here. And so he explains his quirk, and they're just like, he's like, yeah, I told you not to. I was like, I told you I didn't want to explain my quirk. It's useless. He's like,
can I just say, like, I love the fact that his quirk is actually not useless at the very end of this whole thing. Yeah. It's like, what?
It really isn't. But Deku's just like, he's like, no. It's like, it makes, like, maybe it's not exactly useless. Like, we just haven't figured out a use for it yet. And then Sue just goes like, are you sure you cut out for the hero business? Yeah. Like, yeah, I was dying. It's like, wow, yeah, this went and ragged on this dude for no reason. But it ended up being useful because they ended up using their abilities to, Deku used the One for All to, like, catapult him to the air and managed to use his power to, Sue used her frog power, their tongue, to, like, catapult him to the air, because she used her tongue to, like, throw him up into the air. Deku used One for All to do a smash onto the water to create a whirlpool. And then Mineta used the sticky ball to throw them all to make sure the villains got trapped together. So they ended up combining their powers really well. It's just like the fact that when he explained it, it sounded like the dumbest power. Yeah. And they just gave him that look like, yo. Wow. I rewatched that scene like so many times and I laugh every time. It is hilarious.
He's going to be a sidekick. Easy.
I'm telling you, like, later on, he's going to be a beast. Like, he is the comic relief. Well, I mean, granted, like, I know, like, if you read the comic boards or whatever, read, like, comments and read the manga and, like, the comment section, he gets a lot of hate because he's the pervy character. He's the
beast, 100%.
He's the pervy anime character that just about every anime has. And so people take more offense to that because they're students and they're kids. But I'm just like, that's just the typical Japanese anime trope. You gotta have a pervy character.
Yeah. Yeah. His quirk is pop off. Like, come on now. We already knew what that was gonna be.
Talking about the sticky balls.
Right. Sticky balls that pop off. Yeah. And grape juice, I think that's his hero name, right?
Yeah. His name is Grape Juice. He's purple. You got the purple outfit.
Like, come on.
I'm telling you, he makes me laugh. I know he gets a lot of heat, but he makes me laugh.
Yeah, I can't wait till later seasons. We can talk about his internship.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Oh.
No, but then, so after they get free, like, the students get back to each other in their roundabout, and Deku, Sue, and Mineta are, like, the last ones to, like, get back to the area, and they're just kind of, like, staring in the water. And then Shigaraki senses him, and you already know his power is decay, and he's about to go and touch Sue and destroy, and there's no way they're making it out. And Deku, like, tries to jump, see if he can, like, hit Shigaraki, but it's not going to work. And then right when you think Sue's about to die, All Might appears.
No.
My bad.
Go back. It was Eraserhead.
Yeah. Eraser. Yeah. Lifts his head enough to disable his quirk, mm-hmm. and All Might shows up. Now, All Might doesn't know what's going on. So, the reason why he was informed, was because they needed to get help. So the students were trying to figure out a way to get out the building because the villains had them blocked off. And then Kuragiri was going against 13 and was, like, using 13's black hole against her, and was almost, over 13. I almost thought 13 was going to die right there. I really thought they were going to kill off 13.
I thought it was game over.
I was like, wow. But they were able to distract Kirigiri enough for Ida to get out, because obviously Ida's the fastest one of the students with the engine trait. So he needs to get out of the building to go inform all of the actual main heroes of what was going on. So he gets the call. All Might gets the call. All Might gets the foreman. He comes onto the scene. And then you got one of the most epic battles between All Might versus Nomu. Like, how'd y'all feel about that battle?
That was awesome. Goosebumps, and man. I was going to say, and All Might has already used up his 3 hours for the day. So he's already running on reserves because, like, mm-hmm. he's already at the end. But, like, that battle. Oh, come on. False ultra. Full plus ultra.
So I like how he, as he's fighting him, he finds out that that he has shock absorption.
Yes.
That's right. Is that right? Yeah. So he's just like, he realizes that his normal punches aren't going to work. So he's got to take it up to the next level. But before that even happens, I gotta go.
I'm just gonna go on mute for a second.
Yeah. All right. So he had to suplex him into the ground.
Yeah.
And just when you thought that was like, you know, it was gonna be sick, that the suplex and the like explosion with the dirt and everything. That's in Warp Gate, because I'm not gonna pronounce his real name. So the Warp Gate comes through, and he puts a warp that allows the Nomo to split his body in half, which was pretty interesting that he was still able to function like that.
Yeah.
And that's when he stabs All Might. And then you think it's all over for All Might.
Yeah, the plan was to trap him between two and then cut him in half. I was like, okay, that was a very good plan, actually.
And then that's when the other boys come through to help him. What was it? Shoto?
Yeah,
and Bakugo.
Bakugo, yeah, they freeze the Nomu, freeze him up, and then Bakugo.
Oh, dude, he lights up Warp Gate, and then my favorite thing is when he was like, "If you even look like you're gonna move, I'm gonna kill you." And then what's the other dude's name? I forgot the other kid's name who was there, but it's the kid that can harden.
Oh, Kirishima? Wait, what is the name? Hardening. Yeah, Kirishima. Yeah, I got it.
Nice. He makes that little side comment, which they do throughout the whole show, but he makes a side comment. He goes, "Is that even what a hero would say?" Because he was like, "I'm going to kill you."
Yeah, no, he does show up on the scene, and he's like, "Yo, heroes don't just show up on the scene trying to murder people. Like, you can't just do that."
Now, I don't know if you guys mentioned it, but like, when they played All Might where Kuroguri used the warp gate for Nomu's claws. Yeah. So they had him.
We did that.
Yeah.
I was like, got him right in the wound and opened up. And I thought All Might would finish. But Gosu comes in to save the day for All Might. The GOAT, Todoroki, my guy. Honestly, but that shook me though, because like, I didn't realize that when you find out that Nomu also has regeneration, that's one of the quirks. Todoroki like froze his entire left half, and it's just like broke off, and you think it's like, all right, now this is going to be much easier, and he's just like, oh well, regeneration. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. And so then All Might has to get up.
He has to go beyond.
He has to go beyond. He goes, all right. So he goes with full combo. He says it took 500 punches. That was crazy. I was like, wait a second, that was 500 punches, man. He goes, you know, in my prime form, that only would have taken five, but you know, it's all good. It's like, what?
That's ridiculous. No, but honestly, like, that was still one of like most replayed scenes when I was like first watching My Hero Academia. So it's like the fight when they do the rapid punches, just like, it's just like, yeah, you may have Sasuke Jorgensen, but like that only has a limit, and then he does that final charge though, like. Catches him and then launches him into the sky. I was like, yo, what a punch.
That whole thing was sick. And then the other heroes finally showing up.
Oh yeah, because Shigaraki thought he was slick. He was just like, now I can get him. And it's like I thought it was good because like Shigaraki's going after All Might, but then Deku comes and is about to punch Kuroguri in his core. And Shigaraki's like, hold up, let me go here. Let me focus on this brat. And he's about to hit Deku too. And then it's like right before he gets like Eraserhead's already done at this point. So right before Shigaraki's hand touches Deku's face, he gets hit with a bullet from Snipe. Snipe comes through, and then you see all the other heroes, the main heroes coming in. Shigaraki's like, damn, he's just like, oh, too much now. Like, all the other, like I said, the jabronis from the League of Villains, they already got defeated. So he's just like, it's literally just him and Kuroguri. It's like, nah, we gotta get out of here.
No, but even before they leave, Snipe lights him up.
Oh, yeah, Snipe lit him up with bullets.
Yep, he was in his legs and his arm. He's basically this is
why,
before.
And honestly, this is really why I like the story of My Hero Academia as well. Because, like, with the League of Villains, like, normally when you have, like, the good versus evil, like, the bad guys are already, like, super powered up, and it's just the good guys have to train to get to the level to finally beat the bad guys, where it's just like, no, in this one, both the UA students and the League of Villains are like kid ages. Like, you can tell they're both kids, they're both young and inexperienced, so they mess up on both sides of the equation. So, you know, Shigaraki is like, he's not that powerful yet, so he has a learning curve as well. So he gets lit up and he's just like, damn, I failed, I gotta go back, we gotta recover. It's like they're both seen as weak, but then you see the development. You get to see the development of both sides. Yeah. Now, I mean, not in season one, you don't see much of the development of the League of Villains. But it eventually goes, but you see both sides, which is why I love the anime.
Yeah.
No, they did a good job of, like, showing that. And then, like, you know, Shigaraki leaves because he's like, well, obviously my information was bad. I thought all mine was wounded. And I was supposed to be able to, it's supposed to be an easy win for me, like, you know, just debut.
His information wasn't really wrong. All Might was wounded. You're just still weak. You're just weaker than you thought.
Yeah. That's also love how they play on information, though, because, like, League of Villains doesn't know that how weak he is. Like, like, even in the fight with Popoff, with Grape Soda, whatever his name is, Grape Juice.
Grape Soda.
Oh, man.
Thirsty. So even with that, like, you can tell, like, information is very important in the MHA world, My Hero Academia world. And it's very realistic in that sense. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Nah, MHA makes me have hope that I could be a hero.
Stop that.
you can't. I'm gonna let you know right now, you can't.
You don't know.
No, you're not a superhero. You will not develop a quirk. No one's gonna give you a strand of hair to eat to develop a quirk. Nah,
you never know, bro.
You can eat as much hair as you want to. It's not gonna help you.
I can say this with 1,000% confidence. You will not develop a quirk.
Just saying.
So are we. The only difference is we saying facts.
Hate is gonna hate. That's all I'm saying.
How you want to see it.
I mean, yeah, that's not really hate. That's facts. Like, facts going facts. You got an alternative set of facts we don't know about? Nah.
You don't know what the future holds.
I mean, I hope it doesn't hold powers for mutants.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. We don't know what the future holds. My bad, guys. He's right. Theoretically, he may be able to one day develop a quirk because we don't know what the future holds. He right. We wrong. That's our bad. That's our bad.
I don't know. Based on human history, I'm just going to say, like, it's not looking good, Ty. It's not looking good. You got, like, a 0.0215% chance.
No, but there's still a chance. That's good enough for him. There's still that's a chance. So we wrong. As long as there's a chance, we wrong. That's it. Now, we lost, Jamil. That's an L. We got to take this L. We wrong.
What we call? What exactly we call a power? Like, are you trying to be like One Punch Man and become a cyborg? Because that could be a superpower.
Nah. That just ruins my body.
Oh, okay. No,
don't allow him to further elaborate on this nonsense. It's we wrong. It's we wrong. Right, there is a chance he may develop a power. No, but honestly, what made it so good is, like, even at the end of the season, though, the cliffhanger that they leave for season two where they show the dark, shadowy ninja-type figure, like, standing on the top of the roof, and I'm just like, ooh, it, like, it leaves you wanting more of, like, what's coming in the next season, I think. That's like, and I think they've managed to do that pretty well with each season going into it, like the end of season two to go into season three, and it's just like, yes, like how they end it, like, leaves you wanting more, leaves you wanting to come back, which is why I kind of like that. Like, you know, a definitive point when the season ends and when a new season is starting. So I really like that as well.
Yeah, they're very consistent with plot. They're very consistent with growth. Like, the characters all grow from, like, season to season. Something is very different with most of the characters. Like, you know, some of the side characters, not so much, but they'll throw in a little caveat for them too. but they have a definite goal that they're trying to reach with the anime, it seems. And there's a beginning point, and there's definitely like a distant end point. And I can't wait to see, because like in the intro, you know, they show you like in Midoriya's voice is like, this is my story of how I became the greatest hero. And so, you know, he's going to get there. And so you're very, very interested in seeing how he's going to get there. Like it's a cool journey to take.
And, you know, even at the end of season one, like when the League of Villains go back to the base, like there was the mystery of who the real big boss behind the League of Villains was, but you know, someone had to go and ruin all that.
It was bleak.
Someone had to go and ruin all that.
Fool. My bad. So when I started watching My Hero Academia, 3 seasons were already out. So I watched them all together. My bad.
It's all good. No, but yeah. I'm really excited for what's to come. I mean, 4 seasons are done. Season 5, what I heard, rumored to be coming back in October.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know if Corona delayed any of that.
Yeah, it usually comes back every October. And then runs for what is it? The usual. Is it 26 now or is it still 13? Episode.
Nah, I think it's
in
the 20s.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
it's in the 20s.
Yeah, so.
Oh, and you know, just if you're listening to the episode by now and you still haven't figured it out, we record these episodes well in advance. So by the time you hear this episode, it's probably going to be past October. So it's just like, just let you know that we record these episodes well in advance.
I know. So my mom's still talking about I need a background like Dash needs. I'm like, yo, can you stop?
Hey. Tell her to wait a few episodes.
Yeah, wait a few episodes. See that room. She's gonna be like, oh damn. Hey. Nah, my son did okay.
My aunt was like,
wait till I get my green screen back. Just wait.
My aunt thinks I'm recording.
We're gonna know what's behind the green screen. We're gonna be like, oh damn. The better better the green screen, the dirtier the room.
Nah, not at all.
You don't know who's back there. Maybe there's people back there behind the green screen. One of these episodes, you should have someone pop peek out. Like, yo,
that'd be creepy.
Yeah, that'd be creepy.
All right. Pop quiz, everybody. We're gonna do a pop quiz.
What you got for us?
All right. You guys answered 2 of my questions during the.
I told you, you gotta make them harder.
This pop quiz is only going to be 1 question.
Oh, no. Right. Give Chris the other 2. Let's see if you
remember. No, don't play me. All right, fine. Let's see if he's paying attention.
All right. Question number 1. Yep. What was the determining factor for Deku getting into UA high school? A, his written points. B, his rescue points. Or C, his villain points. First I see is Quiet Jams.
I mean, I know what the answer is. Ask Chris first.
Fine.
We literally said ask Chris.
My fault. Chris did this.
Yo, it was his rescue points.
All right. Good job, Chris.
That is correct. All right. Number 2. I was also bummed you guys said this. What does Deku mean? A, a plain wooden doll. B, common race, like a running race. And C, useless. Chris Digits. Perfect.
He's a mover. Oh, you heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So my last question, no one spoke about. So this, I feel like it's gold. All right. What is Deku's mother's quirk? A, pull ability. B, mind control. C, push ability. I can ask anyone. So, Quiet Jams.
Push.
See, Chris Digits.
What was 2 and what was the second one?
There, B was mind control and A was pull ability.
I'll just be opposite of Jamil. I'll say A.
And then Disciple Dashney.
No, it's not mind control. I'm pretty sure it's push. I can't remember. That was a good one. I can't remember it. I'm pretty sure it's push. I'm going to go with C.
Thank you. The answer is actually A.
Ooh, boy. Get up on y'all anime, boy.
She could pull objects to her from anywhere.
See, when I read her power, I actually thought it was telekinetic. So I was,
come over here. Yeah.
She can only pull things to close.
She can only pull things to her.
All right.
For some reason, like, I don't know why, for some reason, I was, like, thinking of a scene where she's, like, pushing, like, she was moving groceries. Like, she was, like, pushing them, not, like, pulling them. But I don't know. That scene probably doesn't even exist, but.
Right.
I don't know. For some reason, that was in my head.
Good. So that was it was in the first couple of episodes. And then, just to make sure I was correct, I Googled it. So, that's.
All right. No. Wait, did they mention his dad?
I got
his dad in the first couple episodes.
I don't remember his dad being mentioned at all. Happened to him.
They tell you what his power is, but not in the first season, I don't think. At some point they tell you what Deku's power is. That's why the internet is like, "Ooh, so what if his power is really this?" But he never actually has
his dad?
Yeah.
I don't remember them ever mentioning his dad.
I don't know either. So
his dad is supposed to have some kind of, like, I think, fire or flame ability.
Deku?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He might actually, if he actually had quirk that it developed, that actually might have been a cool quirk.
Yeah.
The combination of fire and pole.
Yeah, yeah. That's why everyone was like, "Ooh, what if he actually develops this power?" And it was like, "No, he's never going to develop a power. Like, just give up on that, please." Of course, I am gonna fact check myself just to make sure.
There you go. But
I remember they said his dad worked abroad, so like, I don't remember them or their Mitch. Like, they said his quirk is fire.
Well, I remember when the doctor asked.
His name is Hashimi Midoriya, and his quirk is fire breathing.
Oh, fire breathing.
Yeah, fire breathing. He works abroad. Wait, he's another.
You say his dad's name?
His dad's name is Hasashi. There you go, Hasashi Midoriya. That's his name. So yeah, I was like, okay, he has a quirk. He exists in the world, and he's just another absent dad, like gone. Oh. No, wait, like Jinx.
He's working abroad.
He's not trying to stay.
He's not trying to stay away from his kids. He's working abroad.
Yeah. And I bet you if Deku tried to visit him, he could visit him.
We'll see.
Do we know this, though? That could just be a story. Homeboy went out to go get some cigarettes and never came back.
But that's the story we got. He's working abroad. I mean, that's really all we know what to do. Like,
he's working abroad or two.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Dang.
I'm not gonna laugh at it because you didn't laugh at my gold earlier. See, that works.
I mean, isn't that kind of anime? So, what we talk about?
Yeah, there's no broads in this anime. Sorry.
I mean, there is Lady Midnight. Like, her power is really seductiveness.
Mountain Lady.
I mean, if that's what does it for you, yeah, sure.
It is. For grape soda or grape juice.
He's the pervy character.
He's the pervy character.
But literally, Lady Midnight, her actual power, her quirk is like her seductive.
That's true. Lady Midnight, now that I think about it, it is a little suggestive. Yeah. Lady of the Night.
Well, yeah, that's her power.
Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah.
Nail on the head.
Yeah.
She's happy named.
Well, I believe that wraps up our My Hero.
All right, everybody.
I was gonna say my final thoughts on this was, like, this gave me the feels. First, like, you know, a couple seasons of Naruto, first couple seasons of Fairy Tail, and I can't wait to see some more My Hero Academia. Those are mine.
Well, you guys already know. You know my final thoughts: the belief that anything could happen.
No. You're just ending the show.
Yeah, right, Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Call us out, Chris. Let's go.
All right, I'm with you. So, anything can happen. The way you know this The way you know this is I came in not knowing anything about My Hero Academia, and I'm the only one who got a 100 on this quiz. So,
How do you feel about it now?
Huh?
How do you feel about it now? You heard all of season one.
The show.
Real talk. I'm still what's the word? I know you guys are excited about it. So because you're excited about it, you haven't really been wrong too much. So I'm ready to watch it, but I'm still a little indifferent from the description of it. I'm just kind of like, all right, whatever. But when you guys get excited about stuff, then I'm like, okay, it's probably a good show. But I mean, I learned a whole lot. That's the whole reason for this. If you out here watching animes and want to know more about them and everything like that, this is why you check in. So make sure you check in next week. We're going to drop some more knowledge on you. We're the Anime Brothers. We're out here dropping knowledge. Like, subscribe, tell your friends so they can learn something. Annie out.
Annie out.
Yeah.
See y'all in those comments.